Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I am a realtor with Real Broker right here in Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to add massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and from agents around the South. My hope is that you take a few things away from their experiences to grow your own business. Y'all, on this week's episode, I take you to an interview that I did with Lauren House from Miami, Florida. Lauren and I chatted about storytelling in our real estate business, what's important, the five frameworks of how to create and cultivate a great story, why you should be telling stories both on social media and to your clients. So let's jump right in to that interview. I'm excited to share it with you.
Welcome back to Hidden Equity, the podcast that helps you discover the strengths you didn't know that you had. Today, we have Jamie Knight, a real estate agent that I am very excited to bring to you guys because not only is he a seasoned vet in the real estate industry, he has been helping families and selling real estate for 21 years in Lafayette, Louisiana. He has taken that passion and he started a podcast called Real South Agents. And he's just like on this mission to bring massive value to all kinds of agents. You don't have to be new. You don't have to be seasoned. There's literally something for everybody. And every episode touches on such a niche thing about what that person really knows about that topic and how it can help you. And what I'm most excited for is that you guys are going to experience Jamie today. You're really going to witness and have this experience about how much he cares. Because when you talk to him on the phone, even through a text message, you can tell that he wants to help. He cares about what you're talking about and he cares about you as a person. And that is such a lost characteristic or trait that people have these days. So I'm really excited to share this with you because Jamie is a unicorn and we're going to talk about storytelling, which is a totally lost subject within real estate. People don't use it. We don't rely on it. It's not talked about. So Jamie's here to tell us about storytelling and how it can benefit your business. So thank you, Jamie, for being here today.
Awesome. Thank you, Lauren. I am so excited and I am honored by that amazing introduction. I love it. I love it. You know, I always think I do care about people, you know, and I think that's probably a Southern thing, right? You know, it's Southern hospitality. We always try to make people feel welcome and included, right? And you're down there in Miami. And I said, Lauren, you can be in our family down here in the South, right? You know, so we welcomed you into our family and our groups and everything else. And you've been amazing in sharing your knowledge with our listeners as well on our podcast. And I highly recommend people go back and listen to the two times actually that you were on our podcast. So I hope that they go check that out, Real South Agents, and check out Lauren House. So anyway, thank you for that amazing introduction.
You're welcome. It's nothing but the truth. So you came to me with this topic, and obviously we have to start from the very beginning. Like, what are the core elements that make a great story?
Yeah, absolutely. And I definitely want to get into that, but I want to start, I guess, with telling us, I guess, my backstory so that you guys can kind of hear, you know, my story and how it also relates to like where I am in the real estate business right now. So like Lauren said, I just celebrated 21 years in the real estate business, and I started my career at Century 21, which was a small company, I guess, at the time. And the reason I joined them was I just saw an ad running on TV back when they used to put real estate on TV. That's how long ago I got into the real estate business. And I quickly grew to a top agent, even at that company at Century 21 as a new agent, because I didn't know any better. I just went out and I hustled. So then I joined another small local company called KD Real Estate here in our community. And I was their second agent and I helped that company grow to over 50 agents. And I helped them build their brand and their company. And I always did like everything I possibly could to help them grow the brand and to help agents grow their business. And what's fun is I'm still doing that today. It's just kind of who I am. I love helping agents. But the problem is I never received any monetary benefit from growing that company and all of my extra efforts. And I really felt like all I was doing for the first, like say 18 years of my career was just doing transactions, right? And then going home. And that all changed for me when my wife was pregnant with our twin boys, right? So I have twin boys who are 3.5 years right now. They're absolutely crazy. But back in those days, whenever her stomach was growing, and obviously with twins, you know, it was growing huge. So as her stomach grew, the pressure rose for me to find a better way to provide for my growing family. So after 18 years with the same company, I had no ownership in, I left that company with the shirt on my back. So I literally had nothing when I left that business. And I think some realtors will resonate with that. So I moved to another small local brokerage called District South Real Estate Company, which had a great reputation. And they really wanted me to be a part of them, which I felt was, that was something that felt like really good for me to like be wanted again for my experience. And the opportunity was great there at District South. They offered me like an 80-20 split and a cap and all those things that I never had previously. And then finally, when I was like settled in at the company at District South, they took the entire brokerage over to Real Broker. Even for me, like that was a little bit of a stressful time because I had just moved my business after 18 years to this small local company. And my wife just gave me great advice. And she said, like, just give it a chance, give it a full chance. And then, you know, and trust in your mentors and stuff that they wouldn't do anything to hurt you. And this has turned out to be an absolutely amazing experience. And I'm so thankful for my twins, my crazy little twins, who forced me out of my comfort zone, out of my career in 18 years and into this new role of being able to help agents nationwide. So that's my backstory. And I know it was a little bit long, but I wanted to give you guys a little bit of the backstory.
Well, that's the side that everybody's going to see today as they hear and listen to what it is that you have to share. We can already tell just from that intro that you are so passionate about helping people. And like, there's no other way to say it. It's just who you are. It's ingrained in you. It shows. And today's episode is going to be very fruitful.
Absolutely.
Now we can start with the core elements of a story.
Yeah. Let's start with the core elements. Yes, absolutely. So in that story, if you can kind of see, and I'll help you guys with the elements of it, is there's 5 core things when it comes to a great story. And really, I got these things from a book that I highly recommend, and I recommended it to Lauren as well, was a book called Stories That Stick. And it's on Spotify. It's a book by Kendra Hall. And it talks about how companies and even us as realtors are using storytelling in our business. The 5 frameworks are this. Number 1 is, what's the situation? So you've got a starting point there, right? So my starting point in my story was me entering the business, or saying I have 21 years in the business, right? That was my starting point. What does the character want in the story, or what do they desire, right? For me, you know, I wanted a better life for my family. What gets in the way is the 3rd thing. And that's an obstacle or a tension. And in my story, the obstacle was having kids that I needed to take care of and help. What got in the way was also at my first company was not having a cap and not having the chance to earn the full amount of commission that you bring home. So number 4 is, what happens to shift something, right? What's the change? And for my story, the change was the pregnancy, right? The twins, that was my change. That was my thing that changed. And then how does it end? And that is number 5, is how does it end? And what's the result? And what's your new like reality that you're in? And that's part of my journey and my story. And the end of it is, of course, being at the brokerage that I am now, finding my way in here and being on a podcast with you and connecting with you in Miami. And I always say, step out in faith and partner with good people and people that you trust and people that would not lead you astray. And I think that that's a big part of my story is trust. And that's a trust in my wife for telling me, hey, stick this thing out right. Do what you need to do, and trusting in her that it was all going to be okay to leave a company and my comfort of my brokerage that I'd been at for 18 years. That's a lot of comfort, right? And then trust in the brokers that I joined who took their entire 50 agent brokerage over to Real. That was a big amount of trust there. Trust that they aren't going to do anything to harm you. So story building and stories that we use with our clients are all about building trust and connections with our clients. So as realtors, that's super important, is to try to build that trust with our clients. And that's, I think, the reason why we use stories in our business, or why we should use stories in our business, is I think that that builds trust. And we can get into some specific examples in a bit too. What kind of questions do you have so far?
I just want to make a comment that the whole building trust is so important, because we already have a bad rap.
Yeah.
People don't like or trust real estate agents. As soon as you say that you're in real estate, it's like, oh, I know 55 of you.
Yeah.
Whenever I get that, I'm like, oh, I know, like I'm different, I swear.
Yeah.
And part of that is being truthful and being trustworthy. And how do you prove that? It's not necessarily only through storytelling, but like telling somebody, I'm sure you've done this, I don't think this house is a right fit for you. Here's why. If you tell them no, when you have skin in the game as a real estate agent, they're going to trust you. You could have made a sale. They like this house. You would have gotten a paycheck. But when you have their best interest at heart, it comes back bigger and better. So there's a story.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So we have these five core pieces that we know we should include. Is there anything that we shouldn't include? Something we want to avoid? Something that could potentially backfire?
We have to be super, super hypersensitive on how we're presenting these stories and making sure we're not presenting someone in a bad light. We want to tell truthful stories about a situation that happened to us in a sale, but we don't want to tell it in such a way that will make a client look bad, especially on social media. Even if we're not referencing their specific name in the story, they'll know that that story is about them. And we don't want to obviously offend anyone. And that's the tough part. And I think the most challenging part that we have as realtors is coming up with stories that are genuine and that tell a story that is relevant and hits with the client, but is not going to offend the client that actually happened to in your story. And I use somewhat of the framework, right? But not every story has to have a framework like this, right? It could just be a short kind of tale of like, hey, I just had this situation where this seller went under contract. We knew that the roof was an issue. It needed to be changed. Their property came back on the market, and now it's been on the market for over a year, when we could have addressed the roof on the front end. So it's like, that's the kind of stories that you can tell your clients that are kind of precautionary tales of things that have happened to them in the past and that they can maybe try to avoid based upon your experiences. So I think those are ways that we could tell stories to our clients that are maybe going to kind of like be parables, I guess, you know, kind of a similarity to like a Christian parable or something like that's obviously storytelling, even in the Bible, right? Was that there were parables of, you know, hey, this experience like this, and you may want to avoid that, just rather than telling somebody, hey, you need to change your roof. It's a big difference of telling somebody, hey, you should change your roof before you list your house, versus like telling them a story of a client that you had worked with and the pain that they went through in the sense of it being on the market for 10 extra months after that buyer backed out on the contract because of the roof, and we knew it was an issue on the front end. So those are ways, I say, as realtors, that we can like make sure we're having those conversations, and we're making sure that we're having those conversations with them on the front end and setting expectations up front. And I know that you do the same thing as well in your business as far as like setting expectations, but storytelling is a big part of setting expectations and getting people to understand what you're talking about and how that can potentially affect them rather than just telling them what to do.
Yeah, I can. That makes sense. It's definitely a more effective strategy. I'm curious if you have any advice for people who maybe are a little less self-aware, in the sense that as they tell stories, their ego gets in the way and they want to be the savior, or they're just talking to make themselves look good versus telling a story to help educate the client without, exactly like you said, without putting people down or without judging people for the decisions that they made when they didn't really know at that point in time. Because I feel like that's an easy thing for people to do is like they tell a story, especially real estate agents. They love to brag about their numbers and they're this and they're that and who they know and what they sold. And honestly, if it's not you, you don't really care. And so when I watch people's faces as they hear stories about coming out of agents' mouths who are trying to impress this client, it is like so obvious that the agent is just tooting their own horn instead of being a helpful resource to their client. So any distinction between like an ego-based story versus an authentic story or an educational story?
Yeah. I mean, look, I think at its core, right, is if we take the whole situation and say this sale is about them and take ourselves out of the scenario, right? I think that's the biggest thing you could do in the real estate business, you know, and that's why I've had success for 21 years is because it's never been about Jamie. It's never been about Jamie. I even don't even like posting my numbers and stuff like that. Like I only say my numbers really to kind of qualify myself as a realtor who has done some production. Honestly, it's their story. It's not our story to tell, right? So I love hearing their story. And I think as realtors, not only should we be telling stories, but we should be hearing stories. We should be hearing their story and what's important to them and why they are selling their home or why they want to buy a home. Because if we're not asking, we're not hearing. You know, the same thing, like I was meeting with some new agents this morning and they said, well, Jamie, do you think it's a buyer's market right now? And I said, what have you heard? And then they said, well, I heard this and I heard that and I heard this and I heard that. And I was like, okay, that whole thing, like in asking questions and getting their story and their take on it opens up the opportunity. And I'll use this as an example, right? And I'm sure you have this all the time, Lauren, where you have clients or you have people that meet you in public and they're like, hey, Lauren, how's the market? There's the favorite.
Always.
To say, always, how's the market, right? My question that I always ask, I might insert that something like, I might say something like real quick. When you ask me like, Jamie, how's the market? I might say, you know, we're struggling with a little bit of insurance, homeowners insurance rates right now because it's super high. We're in Louisiana and we can get a little bit of help in the interest rate department. That would be great too. And they, you know, I'm giving them something that they can agree with, right? Everybody can agree with that's a challenge. And then I'll ask them, I'll say, what have you heard? And here's why that's important. When you ask them, what have you heard? They'll say something random, like something. And I'll give you an example. They'll say, man, when we tried to sell my mom's house 6 months ago, we couldn't sell it. We didn't get a single showing. We didn't get anything, any activity on the home right now. And now it's just sitting there. All we're doing is cutting grass. And I can say, well, would you guys be interested in me coming by and giving you some opinion on the sale of your mother's home? And it gives me the opportunity to now have a listing of their mother's home, right? But if I'd have kept going with like talking about how's the market, I would have never known that their challenge was based on a failed opportunity to sell their mother's home. So I think that that's super important because what they're saying, and that's why I said realtors, you need to be hearing their story. What they're saying is what's important to them, right? Asking the right questions and getting the right feedback from them is like super helpful. And I think that as realtors, we need to be better question askers and we need to be better listeners to their stories. Because as far as all these realtors who are trying to tell a story in a way that's going to put them on a pedestal, I would much rather tell a story that puts the client on the pedestal. So I think that's important. And I know that was a little bit of a random zigzag path, but that's just where my mind was at on that.
It totally weaves in because we're trying to understand what piece we play in their story. And in order to understand what their story is, the pieces of their story and where we can fit in, where we can help. Like you said, if you didn't ask that question, you would never know. And that's the thing is most people feel like it's all about me when you ask a question.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I that's why I love this because it's like you just flipped it and said, I still want to be helpful to you because there's a reason why somebody's asking. There's always a reason.
Yeah. They're not just asking that.
Yeah. It's not technically to make small talk. It's usually coming from a very distinct point of view, but you wouldn't know unless you ask them to explain a little further. So that's That's a great little, I'm going to try that. That's great.
Yeah. And I like to describe it like, it's like dating, right? Like, you know, you're not going to go in and get down on one knee on the first interaction that you have with somebody. Right. And I think that that's where, like, asking them questions, taking a genuine interest. The coolest thing that I've heard this year was being excitedly curious. That is the best thing that I heard this year. And I keep saying it over and over on podcasts, and because I want people to get it right. There's an agent in my office, and actually she sits at the desk right next to me right here. And she sells anywhere between 75 and 100 houses a year. And she is an absolute rock star. And you meet her and she is super excited and super bubbly and super friendly and just the type of person that you want as a friend. And one of her best qualities is that she makes you feel like you are genuine friend. She comes up, gives you a hug. Lauren, it's nice to meet you. It's so awesome. So glad you're here. But she's also, and I think this is one of her qualities, and I think she does this just because it's her personality, is she's excitedly curious at what is the situation with the client, right? Finding out, well, why are you selling? Why are you moving? Why are you wanting to make a move? And then really getting down to the core reason why that person's wanting to transact, and then speaking to that versus just shoving whatever it is you think they want down their throat. Yeah. Which I feel like realtors do that. They'll shove this condo complex or this house down their throat because we think that's what's best for them, when the reality is we didn't ask enough questions to find out what do they cherish, what is important to them in the sales price, what's their story, and how can we speak to them or help them in their journey. So I think, like, that's a super important part in realizing it, like a dating scenario, right? And finding mm-hmm. out, hey, what's important to them in a relationship? What are they even looking for? Do they even want to be in a relationship? I don't know, you know,
right.
So just things like that.
And so, part of that requires vulnerability on both sides. The client has to be vulnerable enough to tell you the situation they're in, whether it's a positive or a negative. And sometimes it's an embarrassing situation. It's financial. It's like hard to talk about. And so if you are part of their story, my question is, how do you either mirror their vulnerability or share stories that allow vulnerability? Because I think that's what, I mean, that's the element, in my opinion, that allows you to connect. It's like, oh, you're real. So what part does vulnerability play? How significant is it? Is it something that you mirror, or is it something that you just put out there and then hopefully the client mirrors back?
I think you do want to be vulnerable when it comes to stories. And I think stories make us vulnerable. They make us relatable as well. When we tell our personal stories, it makes us relatable. I'll kind of say something silly and I'll be like, you know, I messed that up, man. I really screwed that one up, you know, but it makes you human, you know, mm-hmm. It makes you human and it makes you, you know, relatable. And that's the space that, you know, like if we're really going to connect deeply with our clients, is we have to be trusted and everything else. And I think that's also why it's also important to not put out some different types of stories that are, that's where we got to be careful on social media, because we don't want to put out stories that people listen to and then they're like, well, Jamie shared that and that was a confidential thing. So now I don't trust Jamie with my struggle that I'm having here. And I think that's important when it comes to putting out something, is like, hey, I lean more towards putting out something precautionary tale, but also something that can be positive as well. So it's just tough. You got to be careful. But yeah, vulnerability is tough because we want people to connect with us, but we want them to feel like it's a safe space for them to, right. to speak at and stuff like that. And that can be tough, but that's where kind of telling stories builds that trust. Look, you may not know the true story right away. I know you and I both have a lot of listings. You may not know the whole story right away, but if you move forward, you know, sometimes those stories unfold as you put all the pieces together. I think after, as long as we've been in the business, you could start to kind of piece together some things even without people saying it.
Right. So. And I do think that even though you've been in the business a long time, you still have a lot of questions to ask, like very much back to your previous point. We will never know everything about our client. And so as much as we're trying to gather this information, all of a sudden some random piece of information pops up and you're like, oh, I didn't ask a good enough question around that.
Yeah.
And that was a huge part of the topic. For example, a listing presentation I went on not too long ago, I got them under contract and halfway through negotiating, they're like, well, we need a longer closing now because the lot that we wanted sold. And I was like, oh my gosh, I just assumed that the house, they had a house, a resale house, and that they said they were in touch with the owner. And I just took it at face value. I didn't dig deep at all. So that put a whole wrench in the plan for the buyer because he needed to be in sooner. And it was like, okay, another lesson learned that I don't have the full story here. And why should they? You know, they were a cold call, but like, why should somebody just trust you if they don't know you? And I think that's where the vulnerability comes in. I think that's where the trust comes in. That's what we use social media for, is to tell stories, to demonstrate and to highlight. We're not amateurs, at least for us. You know, we're able to show and guide and help our clients in strategic manners. And sometimes it gets lost because it can feel like, oh, she thinks she's so great, or he thinks he's so great, instead of, oh, wow, that was like a really good story that like makes me want to work with her or him.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, it's social media is sometimes the only thing that anybody ever knows about you.
Yeah.
So I have an example too of like, because I know a lot of realtors want examples of stories, or what examples might you put out on social? All of us are wanting to do different things so that we can build engagement on social. And social is definitely a big challenge. And you and I are both kind of in that space as well. But I told a story on my social media about Murray the dog. Murray was trapped in his small townhouse and he rarely got to go outside. He dreamed of having a yard that he could run and play in. The only way that he got his energy out was to be leashed up and walked with his mommy. His mommy saw how sad that Murray was in the townhouse, right? So his mommy called Jamie to find Murray a fenced-in backyard of his own. On closing day, his mommy sent me a video of Murray running and playing in the leaves in his new backyard. And his mommy also likes the house as well. So that's a story that uses the frameworks that we discussed. And the five frameworks was, what's the situation, right? First one, Murray is trapped in his small townhouse, right? What does the character want or desire? The character in this case is Murray, and he wants freedom, right? He wants the freedom of a big backyard. What gets in the way? And this one was a tough one for me to think about, but what gets in the way is the leash. So the leash is tying him up, and that's in his way of his freedom, right? And having to have his mommy walk with him or whatever. And what happens to shift something? And that's his mommy calling Jamie to help buy the new home, right? And how does it end? And what's the new reality? You have a happy and free little pup and a happy mama. So you've got all that happening. And that's just a cute little story that I think that you can build on that in a number of different ways, right? And build on that with the five frameworks of a story. What's the situation? Number one, what does the character want? Number two, what gets in the way? Number three, what happens that shifts something? Number four, and then how does it all end? Number five. So those frameworks, I think, work in almost every story, and they give you the good feelings and whatnot. And there's so many other examples, and I've seen a ton of them in real estate. And I think the best ones that I've ever seen are using the story framework. And to me, the best story I've ever seen in the real estate business was put out by Matt Leonetti, and he's also at Real, and his story of Benny, the house.
Yep.
I don't know if you saw Benny.
I think I was crying at the end.
Yeah, everyone was crying. I'm like, I'll watch it like just randomly, and I'm like crying. I'm like, what is wrong? Like, you just watched this to show it to a friend, and like, you're crying. I'm like, what is wrong with you? But it just pulls at your heartstrings. Like, and I tell realtors, like, if you want content that hits, you want something that really hits? Tell a story, man. Tell a story that brings the people in. And, you know, that's what we want. We watch Netflix because we want a cool story, or we want
all the feelings,
you know?
Learning how to tell a good story, maybe not to ramble. I think the five frameworks will give you the direction that you need. I've tried to study storytelling because I feel like I don't always hit where I want to hit. And sometimes it's like, I've gone to speaking classes on, this is what it sounds like if you take the same sentence and you put an exaggeration on each word in the sentence, and it means something entirely different every single time.
Yeah.
So those are the fun things that you can play with just with it, the intonation of your voice, much less the actual story. But there's so much that goes into storytelling. So now the question is, how do we keep their attention on what it is that we're saying? What is it about your story that's going to hit, or that's going to make people say, I want to share this with my friends? Like, how do we keep their attention?
Yeah, that's the challenge, right? Every good story, right? You know, it comes down to the, can you relate, I think, with the story? Can you relate with the Murray the dog story? You know, I mean, for me, I don't have any pets at home because one of my sons is allergic. So it's like, you know, even for me, it's like, you know, that story's great. I love hearing about a pup that is in a townhouse or whatever, but it's like, is it relatable? So a good story may not be for everybody as well. You know, like, I'm sure the type of movies that you like are maybe even a little bit different than the type of movies that I like, you know, so stories might hit with Lauren and stories might not hit with Lauren. And I think that's where framing it out and finding maybe the audience for the story is like super powerful too, because Benny, that the house story, did a great job of talking about family. And there was a lot of relatable aspects to that story that was really cool, and the way that he did it with the music and the tone and the you know, as if the house was talking, all of those things, like, that was super powerful. There are some ways to build connections, and I think that's probably a little bit tougher to nail down when it comes to it, but I think if you're just genuine and you're telling a story that you hope to help people, I think that's the great place to start, is just be genuine in your story and not like be exaggeratory or be tell a story that's somehow glorifying you. I think that that's where you can go wrong, is when you tell a story that somehow glorifies the storyteller. I think that's a bad route. I think going glorifying the character in the story, the Murray the dog character, or Benny was glorifying the home itself. And it's just the telling it from the framework of like, this is about you or not about me. And giving, I think, a relatableness to the story is kind of super powerful when you can kind of relate to the topic that's being presented. I think that's a super powerful part of it. You know, so when you're thinking about framing out a story, is like, hey, would somebody care about the story? Is it relatable? Is it genuine? And would they share it with a friend? So like, those are some factors, I think, right there when you look at that. And I think that's really what Instagram and Facebook and everything else, they value shares over anything else, is what I've heard. So would they share it with a friend? Would they think that it's genuine? Would they connect with it? I don't know. Those are all questions you got to ask yourself when you're framing it out.
And there's there's different reasons for people to share, either because it's valuable, it's shocking, it's funny, it's relatable. There's so many different ways you can try and make that story hit. And you just kind of have to figure out, like, when you're doing your storytelling, which of these categories is it falling into to make it shareable?
Yeah, absolutely. Who's your audience, and what do you want them to do?
All right, let's go with the last question. If someone feels they don't have a story, where do they start?
I would say telling other people's stories, just living in the world of giving it away, is a great place to be. I feel like the success that I've had over the last year, couple of years that I've been at the company, has came from me just giving it away. And that's the thing about storytelling, is like, give it away. And I think if you can find those positives in life, it doesn't have to be your amazing story. Not everybody has an amazing or tragic or a super inspiring story, but you can tell another super powerful, inspiring story that you heard or you were a part of. I'm a big fan of a book called Power of Positive Thinking. It's one of my favorite books as well. And I just love looking at the positive things in the world, because you'll either find the positives or you'll find the negatives. And I think that, like, if you're searching for a story to tell, and you're really looking for the positives of the story to tell, tell the positive stories of your clients. Tell the positive stories of them winning, them in an apartment, and them reaching out to you and how long the home search took and the joy that they felt when they walked in the door of their brand new home that they own for cheaper than what their rent is currently at their apartment. Like, that's a win. Like, and it's maybe not a huge life-changing story where everybody's going to be in tears, but it is a story that has some connection and other people want to be a part of that story. And like, that's the super powerful part about telling the right story. And even if you don't have your own powerful story, I'd just say be open-minded to hearing other people's stories and then frame it out from them when they won. And I think that that's good enough as a realtor.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I do think that everybody has a story. It's really just how confident are you in sharing your story? Because I don't think everybody thinks that their story is worthy of other people's attention, but everybody has a story. It does not matter what it is. And anybody you talk to, if it's just a one-on-one conversation and you can break down those barriers a little, people will open up and they talk to you and then you're getting to know them and you're like, dude, you're super interesting. Why aren't you sharing these? And it's like, oh, I don't know. It's not really that big of a deal. But the truth is we all have something to share. You just have to be very confident when you share it, because if you're not confident, people aren't going to stick around to watch it. They don't want to watch somebody who doesn't feel totally comfortable in their skin. And they're kind of like, oh yeah, well, my name's Lauren. You want somebody like, you want to embody the person that other people aspire to be. And it's uncomfortable, right? Yeah. Like, you have to get used to, you have to find your tone. You have to find the language that you like to use when you're storytelling. It's a lot. It's a lot, but it's such a good tool to have in your toolbox.
And don't discount the things that people will connect with about your story. Because there are people in my world that reach out to me and they say, I just love you sharing all of these crazy things that you do with the twins. And I'm just like thinking, like, it's so random. And I just share that the twins are, you know, they figured out how to get into my truck and honk the horn or whatever. Or they figured out how to go under the house and get out onto the front patio. I think that these stories are silly, right? And I just think that nobody cares. Who cares, right? But it's kind of like people do care. And it is a silly story. And it is something that it's just my story. And it's relatable because people, they like to laugh at things and they like to joke. And I don't know, I don't take myself too seriously. Maybe for me, my stories are probably not exactly putting me up on a high pedestal, but I'm trying to be.
Yeah, but people like to see behind the scenes. Like, who are we working with? Number one. And number two, as somebody who doesn't have kids, much less twins, it is fascinating to see people who have kids and how they act and what their kids are doing and to see the world through a child's eyes when I don't have a child living with me. So I think that would capture a lot of people's attention, especially because it's twins. That's rare. So people are probably like, how do they handle this? What do I do? Like, what are they doing? You know, like it's a fascinating life to live because it's not common.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a crazy life. It's just insane. But I always tell people like, hey, it's my life. It's my story. And I'm really thankful, honestly, that they were part of my story, because I think the story and my story that I started with was it forced me to become the person that I always knew that I could be and that was always there. It forced this tree to grow up inside of me that always was planted there. And I've always had a heart for helping agents, but it's really just allowed me to just really like get up every day, have a purpose, have a, you know, a reason for doing what I'm doing. And I always say agents, like, find your purpose, you know, like really discover your why. Find out, why are you doing this? Why'd you get into it? Why are you still doing it? What's exciting to you? What's not? Hire out the stuff that's not as exciting and double down on the stuff that is exciting to you. And like, that's the part that I feel like I'm in the space right now where, and I tell all, you know, agents that I'm teaching and leading and stuff, and just get into content like this and hear podcasts and stories and jump on the YouTube channels and just live in the space of like growing your business, growing, learning, changing, all those things. It's just a great space to be in. I always just tell realtors, be there, live there, stay in that space.
Always be a student. It is never ending what you can do mentally, physically. And it's so cool that, like, collaborating, meeting new people, doing different things in different cities. You know, I think being a real estate agent is very lonely. You're on an island. It can be it can be a lot, right? It can be very disheartening most days. And if you're doing it solo, that's when you kind of get in the dumps, right? You're kind of like, I don't know if this is for me. But as soon as you have somebody, whether it's on a team or somebody in your office, an assistant, where you can talk every little detail about every little client and the transaction because they know what's going on, that helps you so much because you're like, okay, I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
You have somebody there to just stick by your side, and that's irreplaceable, and that's super special. And when it disappears, it's a hard one to fill that void because you're like, I need to talk a little shit about this or that.
Yeah. You know, the beauty of our brokerage is it's a virtual brokerage, and we're connecting with agents like you and I are connecting through a podcast, right? And then we've become friends and, like, you know, really here to help each other grow. And we're both on our own different podcasts and stuff and helping encourage agents, right? That's the beauty of, like, this model that we're in is, like, if you're an agent right now that's feeling like stuck or lonely or vulnerable, or you're just feeling like you're not connected, maybe you need to try something different. You know, maybe you need to make a move and you need to call like me or Lauren and connect with us, and you're hearing this and you're like, I really need something different. Being a part of like a virtual community allows you to connect, whether you're in some rural location or you're in some busy metro where you're alone. Like, you know, you can feel alone in the bustling city of Miami, or you can feel alone on some small mountain town in the US. Like, if you feel alone, the beauty of this brokerage is like that you can connect and you can find friends that you're in these Zoom calls with all over the country, sharing knowledge, sharing information. And I kind of like you, I welcomed you into our crew because I'm like, you're on an island out there in Miami. And I said, Lauren, come podcast with us or a Zoom call with us and be a part of what we're building and everything else. And I feel like that's a great space to live in. It's different than where you've been before, but it's, you have a lot of value to bring to people. And, you know, this is what we're trying to lay down here. So I encourage people to, if they're feeling lonely or they're feeling like they don't have their story or feeling like they're, something's amiss in their real estate business, to reach out to one of us and see how we can plug you in and get you connected.
We are here to help. We are excited to bring value. I mean, that's the beauty and the blessing of being in a business for so long, is that we are now the go-tos.
Yeah.
You know, and it's fun, and we can still learn from new agents. There's a lot to learn from new agents, just with their mindset and what they're thinking, what they're experiencing. Some of it's the same, but I've definitely learned from newer agents. I'm like, oh, wow, I never really thought about that, you know, because we've moved away from that mindset into like a very seasoned, like we can pretty much call a deal how it's going to go now. There's just things that comes with 20 years in the business is pretty unbelievable. It's pretty cool to look back in that rearview mirror and like check it all out and see where you started and where the middle was and where you are now. And we're both here. We're both open to a whole lot of conversations.
Happy to help. You know that.
Yeah. So I think that's going to wrap it up. So thank you for being here today and sharing this. Storytelling is something that we should all be doing. If you're scared of it, don't dodge it. If you are scared of it, you should be embracing it. And Jamie not only recommended a book, but he said the 5 frameworks multiple times. So write it down, start building your stories out. He's available if you need help. This is his department, so I'm not going to help with storytelling.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Happy to help you guys in any way, storytelling, running a business, whatever, whatever I can do, even to just give you a little encouragement. Happy to do that as well.
Yeah, same. So always good to see you. Thank you.
All right. I appreciate you having me.
We'll see you on the next one.